This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 393 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This is Ed, and for this week's show, it's a trip report show. We're going to be talking to Jimmy and Charlotte, who've just gotten back from Walt Disney World literally this week, and we're going to talk to them all about their trip. It's going to be in our live show format, so if you do hear a couple other names, excuse us. And if you want to be part of the conversation, tune into our Tuesday night's live show, 9 o'clock on our Facebook page. And Melissa's going to be helping me out, grill these guys for any information we can get out of them. So without further ado, Jimmy, take it away.
Hello, Disney nerds.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Welcome. Everyone.
Welcome to the Tuesday night live show on Thursday.
Wait a minute.
I'm already confused about this week.
Yeah, it's the Tuesday night. You think you're confused. I left my old job, went on vacation for a week, and started a new job on a Tuesday after Memorial Day. I'm completely like
you need another week or two to get that all.
I don't even know what day it is anymore.
We're all topsy turvy.
Just from coming back from vacation is enough of a stink to make you feel like, oh my god. But then starting this new job and then starting on a Tuesday because Monday was a holiday, it's like it's been a crazy week. It's been a great week, but a crazy week. So
sure.
Thank you guys for joining. I see some of you popping up already. What I'm going to do is play our normal. I know it's not Tuesday night. What's up, Brad? Hanging out in the MCO, waiting for the luggage to arrive. Oh, my God. Oh,
congratulations.
God bless you. Jesus.
Welcome home.
Goodness. Bradley, I feel like you're dodging me on purpose. I was just there.
Hi, Nicole.
Felt like we could have lined that up. What's up, Jason Peterson?
So, guys, what we're going to do tonight is we have Jimmy and Charlotte fresh back from trips to Walt Disney World. So it's going to be a trip report show. We're going to be throwing questions at them. Anything you guys have you want to ask, throw it out there. We'll try to get them on there, too. We're going to hear all about going back to Walt Disney World.
I'm going to go ahead and run the regular Tuesday night intro that we do, even though it's Thursday, and it'll say Tuesday. But so we can share the show and give you guys a chance to share the show. And I like hearing the music and looking at all the pictures. So we'll be back with you guys in 2 minutes while we're gone sharing the show. Please watch the video. And if you're thinking about, hey, that looks like fun and I would like to do that, come join us in November for the Disney Nerds Podcast meetups, November 12th and 13th. All right.
Thank you.
That's great video. I love that every time.
It makes it's, so happy. It's so fun. It's so
fun.
I know Ed's already got his room booked. I have my room booked. I know Melissa's talking about it.
Yeah, wait for the flights for Southwest to figure out which days I'll have my rooms.
All right. You and I need to talk because let's get your rooms booked.
Okay.
And get a deposit down because rooms are getting tight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that at one point, I think Pop was open and now it's closed. It's full. And then Art of Animation had some stuff, but now it was, I think the last I looked was just going to be the suites. And then otherwise it was All Star Movies, I believe, otherwise Coronado, which I'm not opposed to Coronado. I really enjoyed that one time I did a convention there.
My son, his girlfriend, and the couple they traveled with on this last week was at Coronado, and they really enjoyed it.
How was it since the remodel?
We actually went over there and met them one night and went to the Ricks. Well, we walked out to the Three Bridges Bar, which we were just going to have drinks, but it's a restaurant too. And there were no tables available. So we walked back, and my son's like, well, let's just go to the Ricks, because he had eaten breakfast there a couple times, and he loved it. And it was almost empty. So we went and sat in there and ordered food and got some drinks, and it was really nice. The rooms are fantastic. And now you enter through the Destino Tower.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's where the main entrance is. So it's pretty amazing. They've done a really good job. So. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why I'm holding out, is I'll just be forced to go with Coronado then.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have met my cousin Michelle and her boyfriend Hilliard at Meats before. She called me not too long ago, and they ended up booking Caribbean in a pirate room. Okay. Because that was all that was available. So they get to sleep in pirate beds.
Oy, oy, oy.
I told her, I said, I need Hilliard to dress like a pirate every day, though.
Well, I've got a new shot glass for her. We just found this at a thrift store in town.
Oh, great.
Nice.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Very cool. Big shot glass. That's a great shot glass.
What's up, George?
For those of you joining tonight, guys, we are going to be talking to Jimmy and Charlotte about their trip to Walt Disney World. They've both just gotten back over the past weekend, and they've had a very good trip. So we're going to find out all about it. If you have any questions, definitely throw them into the comments and we're going to get to them. Okay, so.
Fire away. Ask all the questions you like.
Well, let's start out with first of all, how long were your trips?
Mine was only 3 nights because that's all I could get off.
And you know what?
I packed a lot.
you shouldn't say only because you almost couldn't go, but you made it happen.
I did. I made it happen.
We got a lot done in 3 days.
I got to experience some new things that I haven't done before. This was
all with Jimmy.
With Jimmy, exactly. Jimmy and fam. This was my first trip back in a year and a half. I had not been since September of 2019 when I was there for Galaxy's Edge opening. That was the last time I was there. My annual pass sat in my wallet all year last year, never touched. And I packed all four parks in, got lots of time at Epcot. I had such a great time. It was fantastic. Pop, the first time I've been able to ride the Skyliners because they were still in construction when I was there last time. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of great things that I got to experience the first time. And it almost was like coming for the first time. You know, the last time I'd been, I had been 10 times that year. I was getting a little jaded. It was kind of like, I've done this so many times. But now that I've had this little bit of break, it was so magical. I enjoyed so much. I'm really looking forward to the 50th anniversary in October and then the meets in November. So,
and you said you stayed at the Pop?
I did. I was at Pop in the 50s. I always request the 50s. And it was so easy to use the Skyliner. I had the best time. It was so good. I bought so cool. many new sets of ears.
Nice. Did you take Magic? Because Jason has a question about Magical Express. He's here and reports that the lines are long for Magical Express. Did you took Magical Express to the hotel?
I did. I took it both ways. My trip in, I got in, I guess, around 9 o'clock on a Sunday night, 8:30, 9 o'clock, and I did not have a wait at all. Like, I walked right up, and I was the first person in line.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jason, that the lines really depend on the time of the day. Like, anywhere between 10 in the morning and, like, 6 in the evening, they're going to be, unfortunately, longer. Pretty big.
Yeah.
We tend to kind of fly in the fringe. For the most part, I do. So not as bad. But, yeah, the crowds are starting to get bigger again.
Mm-hmm. So we did – this was a first for us because we had 8 of us. It was me and Kim. It was my daughter, Caitlin, her boyfriend, Andrew. They stayed at Pop. And then it was my son, his girlfriend, and another couple that they traveled with. And they stayed at Coronado, excuse me. And we decided, the guys decided we were going to, well, I looked it up just to see what it would be, to price a limo. And it wasn't terrible. I think it was total. And they kind of got me a little bit because originally the total was 163. But in the original quote, they did not have the added $50 per extra stop on there. So it ended up being $263. But, you know, we split that four ways, and we didn't tell any of the wives or girlfriends that that's what we were doing. So when we got there, you know, we fly Southwest, so you pick up your – you pick up your luggage in Concourse A. Mm-hmm. So usually when we go, you got to pick up your luggage there. Then you have to go back upstairs, cross across the airport, go downstairs to Concourse B to do Magical Express. Mm-hmm. So we picked up our luggage in Concourse A. And I'm like, all right, we got to go downstairs. And Kim's like, no, we don't. We got to go. I'm like, no, we got to go downstairs. And, you know, so eventually it's just like, whatever. And she was kind of upset about it. But then they rolled up with like this super stretch, like ridiculous, like limo. And it was great because it dropped us off each, by the way, like the first stop was to drop Caitlin, my daughter, Caitlin, and her boyfriend off was at Pop. So we rolled up in like this super stretch right super in front of Pop Century. Yeah, right at the Pop. People are looking like, what's going on? Like, what's, you know, this super right. stretch limo is just rolled up. So it was great. It was very roomy. You know, the driver was great. He loaded all our luggage for us. We had like 10 bags. It held all the bags, and we still had a super amount of room. Me and Kim just kind of sat in the back seat and watched these kids enjoy themselves. So it was Caitlin and Andrew. Caitlin and Andrew both had been to Disney, but not together. And then Wyatt's been, you know, obviously a few times, but his girlfriend had never been.
Hmm, cool.
So we probably set a bad precedent with her that this is how Disney happens.
Yeah, that'll never happen. Yeah, again.
Right. It was a one time thing. I mean, I've been to Disney I don't know how many times, but we don't. That's not how we normally do it. So, but it was a lot of fun. I think if you want something extra special, like a special thing on your trip. That's not a bad way to do it. And if we were all going to the same resort, it would have been only $163 plus whatever you tip the driver.
Gotcha. Very cool.
If you're going with a big party though and you're splitting it that way, I think it's great.
And a lot of times if you're going with a big party, you're staying at the same resort. It just so happened mm-hmm. we weren't, you know.
Right. What was your resort again, Jimmy?
Where'd you stay? I stayed at Old Key West because I stayed on points.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Do you think it saved you a lot of time doing the limo versus a Magical Express?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And the driver was awesome. Like, as soon as we hit, like, we were rolling on Disney property, you know, he rolled down the back thing so we could see the sign. You know, and the kids, you know, we were there with a bunch of our kids, who, you know, in their teens and 20s, early 20s, you know, they had the radio blasting in the limo and there was bottles of water and they were pouring the water in the wine glasses. And so they really got a kick out of it. So it was so worth it to me for that one time experience. I would, you know, it's not something I would do every time, but for this one time, it was like, this was like a big deal for us. It was a big family trip as often as we go. This one was a little different because it was a big family trip. And it was the first time we've gone with our kids as adults where they had their own rooms and they weren't staying with us. So it was special and we wanted to make it special.
I think that does it though. I think that's a really special thing to do.
It's a great way to just to start the trip. And I think Magical Express is great, but it's not the most efficient way to get to the resort. Because sometimes you have to wait in line for the bus. And then sometimes once you're on the bus, you have to wait on the bus. And then sometimes you're on the bus and there's other stops. So you still, you know, right. So it's not always quick. So I, you know, and I've taken, me and Kim have gone and like grabbed an Uber because we wanted to hurry up and get to the resort. Like when we went in January, we had a fairly, not a late flight, but we flew in like at 6 or 5:30. And we're like, well, when we're checking in the boardwalk, we'd like to go to Epcot for a couple hours. Well, we take Magical Express. That's probably not going to happen. So let's spend $30 on an Uber to get from the airport to Boardwalk, and then we can go drop our stuff in the room and walk over to Epcot for a few hours. So it was worth, you know, that type of stuff. It's worth it.
Cool. Now, how many days were you down there for?
Like eight days. Hmm. We flew in on Saturday morning, and we flew out on Sunday morning. The week after Sunday morning.
Nice.
Out of all the times I've been, this was the very first time I've ever used Magical Express. So I'm glad I got to do it.
Did you enjoy the movie?
I enjoyed it a lot. It just made me happy. I do. I always drove. And now that I'm flying all the time.
Yeah, that was before you were a flight attendant.
Mm-hmm. So flight benefits. Use those suckers.
Yeah. I always see these posts from cast members about the people who asked them to get them in the Disney for free. I've never done that with a cast member, but I may do that with Charlotte. I'd be like, hey, can you hook me up with some flights? Charlotte, come on.
Especially since I just got hired by a new airline that I start in a few weeks that may have me based in Orlando. So
I like to feel like I have a little.
Congratulations.
I like to feel like I had a little part in that.
You had a big part in that. So
not with the you getting the offer, but
just making my mind up.
Yeah, helping you make your mind up. We had a long conversation while we were waiting for Test Track.
That's right. Mm. We did. It was great.
So she had a good job, but had an offer maybe for a little bit of a better job, and we discussed it, and I like to think I helped her come to a rational,
you did. To
the best decision.
Good luck.
That's what good friends do. Appreciate
yes,
you.
Absolutely. So I got there on Saturday fairly early, and then we all went to the limo dropped us each off at our hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Kim's room was not ready yet. Because I had made a special request for my room location through Tori Blanz's room request. So for you guys watching, if you have not done the ToriBlanz.com room request, I highly recommend it. It's so worth the $15 or whatever it is a year for a subscription to ToriBlanz.com. Between that and the Lines app, it's complete between the Room Finder and the Lines app. So for those of you who don't know that, you can go on Touring Plans if you have a subscription. You can look at any hotel on property. You can look at the map, pick any room, and it shows you the view for that room, which is fantastic. Yep. So I requested building, I think it was 62, which is the closest building to Hospitality House, which is the main building. Without it being, there are some that are considered Hospitality House building that are more, but this is one that is not more, and it ended up being in 63, which is right across the street. So we could easily walk right over to the main building. the main pool, all of that stuff. We could just walk to our room. It was the first, it was the last bus stop. So when we got on buses, we didn't go anywhere else. But when we got back to the resort, we had to stop at the other, the other stops. But it was fine because on the way back, I don't care. I'm sitting, especially now. It's not like back in the day when you were standing up on a bus. Now you're already seated, so it's not a big deal.
Well, okay, and you brought that up. Let's talk a little bit more transportation now. So the buses still have the dividers.
Yes.
Do they have a lot more buses running? Because if they can't fit that many people on the bus, are you waiting at the parks to get a bus?
We didn't wait a lot, I'll be honest with you. And I don't know what's going on, but Disney has contracted another company that has been running some of their buses called Academy.
Right.
And they were these big silver buses. But they were buses more like the Magical Express buses.
With bucket seats, everybody had their own type of thing, right?
And they move a lot of people. So, and then like if you had a stroller, you know, they would tuck that underneath like they do with a Magical Express bus as opposed to the regular Disney buses. You take your stroller. Yeah, you take your stroller on with you. They tuck them underneath. And then they pull them off when you get off. So
I felt like it took, I had to wait 3 buses to go to Animal Kingdom. So the line was long enough that, and then, you know, they cut it off because only so many people are getting on the bus. Right. So I was there and it was the 3rd bus that came before I ever got on it. And that took almost an extra hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, pro tip, if you walk out there and you see that you're not going to make it on the next 2 buses, order an Uber.
Yeah.
That is
were
one
the
of
the times working on the boards.
Were working.
Yeah, okay. they had them accurate? Back up.
Yeah, they were very accurate for Pop.
I think they were a little quicker than what. Like, I think the buses were quicker than the time stated. Like, there was one point that I was ordering an Uber. I don't remember where we were going, but I was ordering an Uber. And then while I'm waiting for the Uber app to find me a driver, the bus pulled up. Mm. So sometimes I think they were quicker than what the times even said. But the other thing I noticed was when we first started using Ubers on property, it was very cheap. Like, $8 Ubers. Over the past few years, it went higher. This past trip, it was very cheap again. Like most places we went was like an $8, $9 Uber. The most expensive one we saw, I think, was $12.
They raised the prices because of the Mini Express, the mini buses, those prices.
Oh, the minivans? Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Not to compete, but just because they could.
Well, but I also think with limited resorts open and limited capacity in the parks, there's more Uber drivers and less people, so the demand is not quite as high.
Right.
So it's kind of leveled out a little bit.
Definitely.
Yeah, because when we were there last in 2019 for the meetup, I think that most of the Ubers that we took or Lyfts that we took were
12 to 15.
No, we were more like $20-$25 bucks.
Oh, God. No, I've never
paid and
that
sometimes we had to, because we didn't need a car seat too. But it was still higher. Even when I went just to Swan and Dolphin for the Food and Wine Classic with just my mom, that one was an evening. So, you know, I think that, like you said, there was just more demand. So that's their inflated prices. And we're now there's probably less people and more drivers available. So that's good to hear that they're cheaper again.
Well, I have heard a couple of rumors, not rumors. I've seen articles where they're having problems finding Uber drivers. But that doesn't sound like the issue with you guys. You didn't have an issue.
Well, I think across the nation, that's probably true. But in Orlando, I think there's so many furloughed cast members. And I mean, that place is so tourist driven that a lot of those people are not back at work. So I think you see a lot of people looking to make that extra money. And so, yeah, we had really good luck with Ubers this whole week. Now, I will tell you, when they get a little bit higher, I would always check Uber and Lyft. But this trip, I did not. I mean, every time I looked, I just looked on Uber because that's kind of my go-to. But, you know, if it was $15, then I might go check Lyft and see if I can get a Lyft for 10 or 9. And then I would use that. But this trip, every time I checked it, it was between $8 and $12. I didn't pay more than $12 one time for an Uber. And we probably Ubered 10 times.
Yeah, and that's a drink. So that's, you know, that's
it's not Disney World. It's not a big deal, right. It's not a big deal.
Let's see some of these questions. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, so I just thought it was a good tip.
Yep, very much. Lisa's asking, I'm not sure what you mean about the questions for the resort pools.
So some resort pools, depending on the pool and the time of day and the crowd level, there could be a wait to get into the resort pool. It really depends on what resort. Beach and yacht clubs, that's one of the most popular pools on property. That one is taking a while to get in. It might take you a little bit because they have all the seats spaced out. You can't move the chairs. They do not want you to move anything because they have set everything in a social distancing standard spacing. So that pool is very, it's always crowded anyway. So you could have a wait for that one. The hippy dippy pool at Pop during the really popular time of day when they have the activities going on, it wasn't a long wait. It might have just been 5 minutes. You walk up and you got to wait to make sure that everybody's gone or you've got a space that you could go to. But the 50s bowling pin pool, I didn't have a wait at all.
I was about to say, I mean, if that's really your concern, you just really want to swim.
Yeah.
You probably walk to one of the other pools.
Exactly.
It's fine. But, I mean, maybe that's not what you're looking for. If you're staying at Pop, maybe you want to go lay by the pool, let your kids enjoy the – because that type of stuff only happens at the main pool, right?
Yeah, it does only happen at the main pool. Yeah, and you're going to find that the queue for getting in is always going to be more – at the main pool because it's the feature pool, the Caribbean, the Coronado, whatever. Those are the feature pools. Those are the pools with the slides or whatever. And that's the one that the kids want to play at. So you may have a little bit longer wait at those.
So were they restricting people into the pool based on just the seating? Like, or let me rephrase that. Jimmy's like, if you wanted to go for a swim, it shouldn't be a problem. But if you wanted to go for a swim, you still had to wait to get in there based on the seating though.
Space available. So I guess they're kind of judging it by we have these chairs available, so we have space available in the pool. Mm-hmm. We have space on the pool deck, so we have space in the pool.
I see that lessening.
Yeah, for sure.
Sure.
Soon. I mean, they're already some things they were so strict. I mean, look, I've been 4 times or 5 times since COVID. And some things that they were very, very strict about, the social distancing and stuff like that. This past trip, they were very easy. There wasn't much social distancing in line. You know, some places they'd be a little more respectful. As long as the line was outside, past the point of where, you know, the fast pass people would scan, they didn't require you to have a mask. Once you got past that point, they say past this point, you have to have your mask on. But there wasn't a lot of social distancing. I mean, with that being said, nobody like crammed up next to me like you would have in the past. I mean, they were still somewhat respectful, but, you know, not maintaining 6 feet, which I mean, if I was that worried about it, first of all, if I was that worried about it, I probably wouldn't go to the theme park. But I mean, the other part is that, you know, I try to be somewhat respectful of that, giving people their space, which is, I think, is something that they should carry on. Mm-hmm. Like, instead of
crying. Nice.
It is nice, you know, and the status quo is like, hey, you know, I forgot what attraction it was. It might have been PhilharMagic in the waiting area. You know, they're like, oh, yeah, move up and fill up all available space. And the lady's like, no, do not move up. Do not fill in all available space. You know, because the pre-recorded message, that's what it is. And I'm like, well, I kind of like not having to move up and fill in all available space. You know, that's never comfortable for anyone. So that part I really liked. I like that it still seems like they're following, like they're keeping people safe and following the guidelines and, you know, following the science. So it's I think they're doing a good job. And I know I just saw while we were there or coming home, Universal has suspended the mask inside if you're vaccinated, but they're not, they can't check for vaccination. Right. So it's kind of an honor system. So basically nobody's wearing masks inside. Right. But so I don't see Disney being too far behind that. I don't know why in my Disney fan brain, I want Disney to be the leader. And it seems like through this, they have not been. Mm-hmm. They've kind of trailed along Universal's coattails and kind of been followed what Universal did, which is odd to me. But
I think they've just been trying to be safer through the, you know, the entire thing. That's just kind of their MO, is error they're going to the be extra sure. Mm-hmm. Is where it's going. But you're right. It's soon. It's going to be coming off soon.
Yeah. And look, I mean, they're all following the guidelines set out by Orange County. But it's interesting because Orange County is basing their decisions based upon how many people in the county are vaccinated, which really has nothing to do with Disney or Universal because most people there are not from Orange County.
Right.
So, but I get it. And, you know, and like, I mean, you know, the CEO, Dick Chapek, you know, he basically said, look, it would be miserable for people to be there in July and have to wear a mask outside. And the science just doesn't, you know, the science just doesn't support the fact that you should have to do that. Mm-hmm. So I think they probably, in my opinion, they probably could have got away from masks outside before they did, because
mm-hmm. Well, they were doing pictures without.
Yeah, that was the first step, was taking off for pictures.
Right.
Yeah, so it was great. Look, I would have gone regardless, not having to wear a mask outside when it's 97 degrees, which it was hot. While I was there.
So
was great. I will say when Charlotte was there at the beginning of the week, it was very hot during the days, but it was not very humid. So that was one of the advantages, is like by 6 o'clock, it cooled off dramatically. You know, like when you're there in like July or August, the issue is even after the sun goes down, even at night,
it's so
humid because it just maintains the heat. It wasn't like that at all. Like it would be 95 degrees during the day and then it would be 70. In the like it would fall off that fast, because as soon as the sun went away, the air was dry, and the heat just went away, and it was wonderful at night.
Nighttime, yeah. We didn't have any of those 4 p.m. storms.
No,
because the moisture in the air and make it so muggy at night. It was so the dryness. Kim and I we've said so many times in the Epcot, like, this is lovely. This is absolutely the best night we could possibly have. And it was
fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Awesome. I had some other friends there that we were talking and said at night, like swimming at the resort, because they got younger kids. And that pool's actually kind of cold at night, even though it's 92, 93 degrees during the day. In the evening time, it cooled off enough that because it was so dry, that the pool was kind of cool to be in the pool in the evening time.
Very nice. Jason was asking about reservations for dining. Are we still at 90 days?
60.
That's what I thought.
Did you have any ADRs during your trip? Where did you eat?
So we had, the day we got there, after we get dropped off at our hotels, me and Kim dropped our stuff at Bell Services. Our room wasn't ready yet. And then here's another point, because me and Kim ordered groceries from Publix using the Publix delivery app. And he was bringing it. And while we were kind of waiting in line to go for a bus to the Magic Kingdom, and I'm like, okay, if I'm not here, can you just leave with Bell Services? And he's like, they won't accept alcohol because I had like a 12-pack of beer. And I'm like, okay, well, in the meantime, he got there while we were waiting for the bus. So while I knew he was getting close. I went, and at that point in time, they had a line for Bell Services for people picking up or taking away luggage or whatever. So I'm messaging with them because through their app, you can send text messages to the whoever it is delivering it. So, and I told him, you know, what I was wearing. I'm like, hey, I'm here. I'm in line. Because they'll check it with the liquor for you. They just won't accept it from a delivery driver. So he brought it to me, and then I checked it. And then as soon as I walked away, a Magic Kingdom bus rolled up. So,
hi.
So that day we had reservations at Skipper Canteen for like 11:30,
mm-hmm.
Which was amazing. It always is.
Such a good place.
I love the. I forgot what it's called. It's the pork, but it's like the Sioux something, char Sioux pork or something like that. It's like a barbecue pork over jasmine rice and bok choy. It's amazing.
Nice.
We got four appetizers because there was eight of us, so there was four couples. So each one of us bought an appetizer, and we kind of moved them around the table. There's a couple that's not on the menu that I really like
the secret menu.
And if you've ever been to Epcot during Food and Wine and been to Brazil, which is my favorite Food and Wine booth because they have the pork belly. But the other thing they have is the Brazilian cheese bread.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the things they have on the menu. It's not on the menu, but they offer is this cheese bread like that. At Skipper Canteen. The other one was like a kebab. But then we also got the cachapas, which are like these little corn pancakes with shredded pork on top. And they are amazing.
Sounds good.
My favorite. And then we also got the falafel, which mm-hmm. comes with this hummus and this chimichurri. So all the appetizers, it, I went there with Charlotte a few years ago. We had a whole group of us. And I think we got a bunch of appetizers. All the appetizers. If you can go there and just order a bunch of appetizers, like for Melissa and Jason, like you could probably go there and just order all the appetizers and just have that be dinner. Like
I know, but I need the lamb. The lamb there is so good.
I don't think they have lamb anymore.
I was looking at the menu the other day.
I don't think they have
that. I love Skipper Canteen. Every time that I've been there, it's always easy to get into. It's beautiful. The food is great. The service is great. And I think it's off the beaten path that people look at the menu and think, oh, that's maybe mm-hmm. not for me, but mm-hmm. definitely try it. And they will accommodate to anybody. My husband's very, very picky. And he's always been able to find something, or they'll modify something for him. And mm-hmm. just wonderful.
Kim got the Thai noodles, and she gets it with the tofu and the chicken.
It's so good.
You can get it with chicken, you can get it with tofu, or you can get it with both. And Kim gets it with both, and it's really good. It's spicy. Mm-hmm. There's something else that's spicy there too.
So if you like flavor, that's where.
Yeah, if you like
you. You want like to eat for a little bit different.
For me, from New Orleans, like I want food with some flavor. I need it to punch me in the mouth sure. a little bit. I don't need 50s Primetime Cafe. It's not going to do it. Mm-mm. I can't do Bland or Liberty Tree Tavern. Terrible. It's terrible. Bland, bland, bland on top of bland.
Mm-hmm. Yep. American food.
Middle American food.
Yeah, give me some spice.
Yeah, give me
spice
some.
Spice it up.
Yeah, put some stuff on it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the food at Skipper Canteen, I found it's not spicy just for the sake of being spicy. It doesn't necessarily have to be hot. It's just seasoned well.
It's very mm-hmm. well seasoned. It's very yeah. flavorful. It's
more ethnic, I guess, would be a good word for it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, it's the Skipper Canteen. It's from all yeah. around the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So and then on Tuesday we went to Via
Napoli. Napoli.
Me and Dad had this argument. I can't remember the right way. It's either Napoli or Nepali.
Nepali.
Is it Nepali or Napoli?
I want to say the first one, Napoli.
Napoli. I think it also depends on where you're from.
Anyway, how was it?
It probably depends on what part of Italy you're from, if you say Nepali or Napoli. Nepali. So it was fantastic. Oh, my God, it was so good. We got the so we split the check two different ways. So, like, Wyatt, his girlfriend, the other couple they were with, were one check, and because they would only split the check two ways. So, and then me and Kim and Caitlin and Andrew on the other check. And then we both got the calamari as appetizers. It was very good. I don't know if the probably the best calamari I've ever had is at Mama Melrose.
That's what I was about to say. I think we had really good calamari at Mama Melrose.
So I don't, but it was pretty close to that. I mean, it was very, very good. And then we also had the, I forgot what it's called, but it's like a charcuterie board, but that's not what they call it. Mm. And then we also had like the tomatoes with the mozzarella and the balsamic on it. Which was okay. But the they don't call it a charcuterie board, it's something else that they call it, was amazing. It was like $50 just for that. But it was the picture amazing.
Looked amazing.
It was amazing. I mean, it had like a lot of, it was big too. I mean, it's made for probably, I mean, all of us at the table ate on that thing. It was amazing. And then we each got the largest pizzas that they had. And we did half and half. We did half the picante they have, which is a spicy Italian sausage. And we added pepperoni. And then the other half was just like, I think it was Italian sausage, but it was, maybe it was just mushrooms. I didn't have any of that. I just had this sausage with the, but it's like all like flat Neapolitan style pizza, which is so up my alley.
Mm-hmm.
The first time me and Kim went there was a few years ago, and I thought it was a little floppy. So this time we went, and I asked them to get it a little more well done.
Well, yeah.
I want a little char under the undercarriage. I don't know if any of you guys watch David Portnoy. He's the guy that started Barstool Sports, but he does pizza reviews all over New York, all over the country. But yeah, they call it an undercarriage. It's got to stand out. Can't have too much flop.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like that type of pizza though. It's like a thin crust, like true that type of pizza. It's not. So it's delicious. It was fantastic. The whole thing was fantastic.
Jason says that was mozzarella compresa.
Yes, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
I don't think it's compresa. I think it's caprese.
Caprese?
I think on the menu, it's mozzarella caprese. Caprese?
That could be just the neighborhood when you say it that way differently.
Yeah, maybe so.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fantastic. The other reservation we had was for we did a breakfast Thursday morning at Trattoria Al Forno on the boardwalk. But they do a pretty traditional. I mean, they do some Italian stuff, but they do it like I did two eggs your way, and it comes with bacon. The best, probably one of the best bacon I've ever had. Not that bacon can be bad, but it was really good, like perfectly cooked bacon in my opinion. It wasn't too meaty, wasn't too crispy. It was kind of in the middle. And everybody loved the food there. And it's actually a bargain there for breakfast. It's very inexpensive. And then that was the only reservations we had. Me and Kim did end up meeting up with Wyatt, his girlfriend, and the couple they were with. And we ended up going to eat at Rainforest at Animal Kingdom, which I'll defend to my dying day. People think it's a chain. It's
so
a cool
place.
It is a chain, but it's a cool place to be. And it's I got the fish tacos, and me and Kim always get the sampler, like, appetizer platter. And the food there's really good for the money.
And you're right. There's always something going on inside. You know, as you go through the meal, all the different things start ticking off.
I'd probably feel different about it if they had one close to me. Mm-hmm. So you could say it's a chain, but if there's not one near you, it's not a chain to you.
Exactly. It's an experience, because I can only experience that when I go to
World. And you know what? I mean, look, it's not a there are chains and then there are chains.
It's not Chili's.
Let's just say McDonald's isn't in the park anymore. So
Right. I mean, so Rainforest is owned by Landry's. We have a Landry Seafood in New Orleans. It's a very, very good restaurant. There's a Saltgrass Grill. Very good restaurant. So I think, some people, I think, identify chain as just bad. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think it means bad. Yak and Yeti is part of the Landry's group. It's the only one.
Yak and Yeti.
And it's the only one. There's only one Yak and Yeti, but it's owned by the same chain that owns Rainforest and T-Rex and all of those. Yeah. And, but Yak and Yeti is amazing.
It's a good, if you're planning to do Yak and Yeti and Rainforest and T-Rex, to get the Landry card. It's like almost like the dining, the old version of the dining pass. And so you'd be able to get some discounts. So good thing to order ahead of time if you think you're going to try those restaurants.
So the biggest thing about the Landry's card, the Landry Select Club, is, and I showed it this years ago, is not really the discount. Because you earn points and you do get money like the month of your birthday and stuff like that, but it's the priority seating. So you pay $25 for the card, but the first time you use it, they give you $25. But when we went to Rainforest, we did not have a reservation, and it was six of us. And I walked up to the pink elephant and I said, "Hey, I'm here. We'd like a table for lunch for six. Do you have a reservation?" "No, but I'm a Landry Select card member." "Okay, hang around close to the front because you'll be one of the next ones getting sat. And you take priority over everybody else waiting."
Nice.
And that is also true at Yak and Yeti.
Yep.
So in Disney, both Rainforest Cafes, T-Rex, Yak and Yeti, and Bubba Gump and Universal. Mm-hmm. So, look, I get it's a chain, but I think Landry's does a good job as a chain. They own Morton's Steakhouse in New Orleans, which is a very, very good restaurant. So they don't – it's not – like you said, it's not Chili's.
Right. It's not Chili's.
Sure.
Or Applebee's or, you know, some of those other chains.
Try not to categorize any of the chains right now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but I get it. I get it's a chain. But, I mean, look. Deluxe Burger, chain. Blaze Pizza, chain.
True. So a lot of the sandwich. I know.
I've never been to any of those. There's actually a Blaze Pizza. I wanted to go eat Blaze Pizza. And like, well, you know, we have one in New Orleans. I'm like, yeah, it's in a place I'm never gonna go. Like, it's uptown. Like, I'm not driving all the way uptown to go eat Blaze Pizza. But it's at Springs. I'll go over there and eat it. We ended up eating quite big, which was a better decision anyway. Flight Pig is amazing.
So speaking of food, what about, we talked about ADRs, what about mobile food ordering? We've got a question that they had some issues back in January, just curious about their trip at the beginning of November, December, how it's going. So did you use the mobile ordering while you were there, either of you?
I used mobile ordering multiple times. One thing that I learned, because I hadn't been in a while, at Pop and other resorts, you know how the quick service used to be open till midnight. It is no longer open till midnight. It closes at 10 p.m. on the dot. You must mobile order. I got there at 2 Pop and went and got my stuff in my room, and I came back to find food, and it was 10:02, and I could not order. Mm. Now, I did get a little bit of magic because the resort manager was walking around. He saw my sad face. He's like, "What's the matter?" And I'm like, "I'm starving. I've been flying all day." And so he took me into Pop Quick Service to see what was left and got me a cheeseburger, fries, and a drink, and told me it was on Mickey.
Oh,
but
awesome.
Yeah, it was very nice. But you must mobile order. You must do it before 10 p.m. Do not wait for that late night snack. If you're going to want something, go ahead and get it. There is one line. If you are a cash payer, you go to the person who's checking you in or doing the mobile ordering confirmation. You tell them that you are paying with cash, and there is one register. Everywhere I went and I did mobile ordering, I saw that they had one register open for people who were paying cash. So if you're not mobile ordering, you want to pay cash, your use or order right then and there, there is one register open for that. But you do have to tell them, "I'm a cash payer. I am not mobile ordering."
So when you say cash, though, just to be clear, you mean cash or credit card, right? You're paying right there as opposed to not mobile ordering.
Not on the app. Right?
So there's only one register open for regular and the rest are mobile ordering?
The rest are mobile
There's no registers for
mobile order. You just go through to the front, but or wherever they call your number.
But so, I did see more places like where you could just go. When I was there previously, after COVID, like our kids wanted something to eat and they went and hop in line at the Yak and Yeti quick service. And the line was set up where you could go hop in line and walk to the register and order food. When I was there before, months ago, you couldn't even do that. They would be a cash member out there telling you needed to do mobile order.
Mobile order.
The line wouldn't even be there. Mm-hmm. So they are starting to switch that back up a little bit.
Sure. And that seems to be, I was going to say, that seems to be not like announced type of like just relaxing.
No, right. They're relaxing that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Quietly.
We mobile ordered at Fairfax Fair in Hollywood Studios.
Oh.
They did not have a cash line there. I was at Animal Kingdom and got something at Flame Tree, and they had a cash line there, but you had to go to the cash member, and they took you around to the side where this one register was at by itself.
Super secret register.
Exactly, super secret register. But everything else was mobile order, and you walk up to the window, and you give them your mobile order number when it's ready now. So there wasn't any problems. It's just if you don't have a smartphone, you're not using the app, or you want to pay cash, you need to go to the cast member and let them know.
Right. And don't forget, guys, when you mobile order and you get to the restaurant, you got to hit the button to tell them that you're there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one big thing that you can't screw up on. You do it once, basically, and then you figure it out. Hopefully you won't do it the one time. And Lisa didn't have problems in January. She had a really good time, it looks like, with the mobile ordering. So that's kind of cool.
That's good.
So the last day we were there, we ate at Cosmic Rays, and we went to the entrance closest to like the castle. So we walked up Main Street all the way and then took that right to go to Cosmic Rays, kind of alongside the castle where Merida used to do the meet and greet. Mm-hmm. And I did what you said. I had the mobile order. I actually mobile ordered on the bus because we knew we were meeting Caitlin and her boyfriend there. And so then we walked over and I got about to the castle. And I hit, "I'm here, prepare my order," because I knew. And we waited a little while. So that entrance right there was for mobile order. But I was waiting, and I saw multiple people walk up, and they asked about, "Well, what if I'm paying cash or whatever?" She said, "You have to use the other entrance on the other side. So you'd have to walk all the way around." Probably, I'm guessing, that entrance by the Speedway.
Cool.
So
And that's a big restaurant, so I guess they can do that, where they have the two sides to it as opposed to smaller ones.
Mm-hmm. Dole Whips were also mobile orders, but they had a cash.
That's interesting.
Interesting.
Weird one.
Interesting weird, enough.
Exactly.
Interesting enough, I had a Dole Whip, but I had the pineapple lanai at the Poly, and it was walk up.
Oh, that is interesting. Because when I was in Magic Kingdom, it was mobile order. They did have one line to the side for cash payments only, and that line was long. There was
a lot of people waiting. The last Saturday we were there, we also went and got stuff at Sleepy Hollow, and that line was walk up as well.
That's good.
Yeah, that's a tough one to have two lines at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a cash and a mobile. I think there's only one register anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So the wad.
Okay, cool. Wad. Well, we're running late. We're running long. So I want to talk about rides. Anything stick out to you guys attraction wise? Charlotte, you had to ride some new stuff. You haven't been there in a while.
I rode Rise of the Resistance.
Oh, nice. Nice. So how was the process? Did you guys.
The process was jacked because Charlotte effed it all up.
I effed it all up.
But, okay, well, let's real quick. The biggest thing I keep hearing is don't use Wi-Fi at the hotels. Is that legit or not?
Yes, I would not use Wi-Fi.
I don't think I would use Wi-Fi. Okay. Definitely stick with your mobile plan because Wi-Fi is so sketchy as it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Disney Wi-Fi is terrible.
What was your loading party or what time did you guys go on Rise of Resistance?
So, let me I'll break this down for Ed and Melissa. So, I'm there with seven other people. And then Charlotte's like, hey, I'm coming. Won't you add me on my Disney experience? So when you do your boarding group, you can just add me to the party. I'm like, that's great. So we got together. I sent her the request. She went to approve the request saying that she wanted to connect with me. But this is a common thing, and it's kind of my fault because I should have told her. When you click approve request on that email, it just brings you like this blank screen, and you don't know if it actually happened or not. So that morning came, and Charlotte did not see me connected to her. So I wake up like at, 6:50, and go to get a boarding group, and it says, boom, I click it, and it says, well, two of you already are in a boarding group. And I'm like, I'm looking at it, it's me and Charlotte. I'm like, what did she do?
He calls me. He's like,
what did she do?
What did you do?
And Charlotte, to defend you, those apps, there are so many ways to screw up in those apps, unfortunately, and they're powerful screw-ups.
She was trying to get her own boarding group.
Because I never saw him.
But right. Because we were connected and both of us had park passes, when she hit it, it pulled me in. And when you're hitting it, you're trying to go fast so you can get it. So she's not looking, and it pulled me in. And so by the time I was looking to get it, and I'm like, oh, now I got to remove us from this party, and now I got to try and get it for the other people, it was gone.
Right.
So, but we went to guest services. I said, Charlotte, it's going to be fine. Meet me at the park. We'll go to guest services. We'll explain what happened, and let's just hope they fix it. And they did.
They did. Cool. She said, girl, I got you. Because I'm like, I screwed up so bad. He can't ride with his family.
Yeah, she's going to be in a doghouse for like a month.
I know. I was really worried that I was going to have to buy him a whole new annual pass or something to pay him back.
Yep. They were very, they worked it out for us, and we went in there, we explained what happened, and she was able to see that Charlotte did get a boarding pass for me and her and some other random person that Charlotte was connected to.
Right.
Who wasn't even there.
Guest services is amazing, Jessica. Just amazing.
Yeah, very much so.
So She took care of it. She went and found all the people in my group, and she put us all together, got rid of the one that Charlotte did. I think she put us in the same group,
mm-hmm.
in the same boarding group, but just all of us together, and got rid of the other two. So we were all able to experience it together. And
it was 11:40.
And then what time do you line up at 11:40?
Yeah,
at 11. Well, you have an hour. Mm-hmm. So when they call your group, you have 1 hour.
Gotcha. Call the group as far as like the app?
The app tells you.
Yeah, you're going to notice.
Yeah, they tell you they're loading this group for this group. But when they're loading your group, when you go on the app, it tells you actually And I'll tell you another thing. It told us that our group approximately would be called approximately 90 minutes, and we were going to build Kim's droid.
Went to ride
Smuggler's Run.
Smuggler's Run.
And we must have got called, and I didn't see it because we were building the droid, but we must have got called 10, 15. It was supposed to be 90 minutes, and it probably got called 20 minutes after that.
So you can't trust the time then.
You really can't trust the time. Now, with that being said, that only gives you an hour to get back. I'm sure if you had a boarding group and you're a little late because you got stuck building a droid or something like that, if you have that boarding group, they can see it, and I'm sure they would still let you on.
Right.
So we ended up making it in time. But the kids, like when me and Kim were going to build the droid, the kids wouldn't do Smuggler's Run, which was only, a 40-minute wait? And we supposedly had like 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And we were waiting for them, me, Kim, and Charlotte were waiting for them to get off the ride to head over to Rise of the Resistance, which wasn't far.
It's funny how often that happens, though. Like, you know, you have the time and it's nap, but the next thing you know, you're waiting for somebody to show up, or else you're going to lose your fast pass time, is what it was.
So the other thing I have to say about that is, I think because they're loading these groups faster, and I think they're sitting more people on it than they were before. We noticed me and Charlotte and Kim were sitting and by Fairfax Ferry eating lunch. And it had to be like all of a sudden, like all these people start clapping around us. Like, what is going on? Is there somebody, like a character come out or something like that? No, it was 1 o'clock. And it was time for the people who couldn't get a pass try and join a group.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you about that.
But apparently, because they're running through these groups way more quickly and smoothly than they were before, it seemed like Monday, that was Monday, and the other day I happened to notice I was by Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad, and the same thing happened. Like, I'm like, what is going on? And I looked at my watch, I'm like, it's 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
So apparently a bunch of people are still able to get, like enough people are still be able to get boarding groups at 1 o'clock that you see a reaction in the park. So that means they're running through, they're getting enough of those early people on. Right. They're opening up more spots for that 1 o'clock crew to join.
Because I've heard bad news about that 1 o'clock drawing. So
at one time when we were there months ago, the 1 o'clock thing was a waste. I mean, like nobody. I was around a bunch of people and nobody got it. But right. I think because if the ride closes for a little while, or it's just they're just not getting people on as efficiently, then those people that got it at 7 are guaranteed the ride. So they don't add any more groups. Mm-hmm. So the 1 o'clock really just depends on how efficient they're getting people on throughout the day.
Right.
Up until 1.
That's cool. And that's another one of those Walt Disney things, because it'll happen. It'll keep happening. And you know what? The next time it happens, 1 o'clock, you hear those applause. It's like, oh, yeah, it's the Rise of Resistance.
Exactly. No longer the 3 o'clock, the parade. It's the 1 o'clock Rise of Resistance load.
And the second time I heard that, we're by me and Kim's by Runaway Railroad waiting for the kids to get off. And I'm like, damn it, it's 1 o'clock. And we didn't get one that morning. I'm like, I should have got it. I had a good chance of getting it had I been on, and I wasn't paying attention at that time.
Okay, one more question for you, because we are running really late. How did the park hopping work? Did you guys park hop, and how available was it when you looked? Like, was every park available, or one park, or some not?
There's no place to look.
You don't look. You just go.
You just go.
Oh, just after 2.
Just after 2. So I was, we park hopped to Epcot after Hollywood Studios on Monday. Tuesday, we stayed at Epcot all day long. But Wednesday was my last day. So I started my day at Animal Kingdom because I needed to at least go to Animal Kingdom. And I needed to finish at Magic Kingdom. The buses to park hop start running at 1:15 p.m. I was there. I was standing waiting for the bus at 1:10. And the bus pulled up about 7 minutes later. And I got on and I got to Magic Kingdom and they let you in. It was a few minutes before too. And I was in Magic Kingdom and there is no, you don't have to worry about availability. They just have it open. Excellent. Yeah. So cool.
another non-announcement.
Yes,
I think,
exactly.
Well, I think there is a chance that the park you're trying to go to may not have availability, but the bus driver would tell you at that point.
Right. Gotcha. Or the bus will show up. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but they'd have to tell you because you'd be sitting there for like an hour waiting for a bus.
I think somebody would come and tell you.
Yeah. Or they would even close off that bus stop with a sign. You know, that's a perfect way.
Well, you know how
I think I've heard you can ask guest services also before you park up. You could go in or any of the cast members sitting at, are they still doing the mobile guest services?
Mm-hmm. The little blue umbrella is the guest experience teams.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm pretty sure you can ask them, hey, I want to park up to X park, and they can check something internally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To make sure that they have availability. But I have not had any issues hopping to any parks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun. Not a problem. And it was before Memorial Day weekend. It was considerably crowded for a low crowd time, if that makes any sense. You know,
yeah, sure. Well, everybody's coming back. So they're still low capacity, though, aren't they? They're not 100%.
No, I don't think they're at 50 yet. It's interesting because it feels kind of crowded because I feel like there's more people in the walkways and that type of thing. But the lines they move so efficiently and the lines are just not long.
Maybe that'll be a silver lining coming out of this, is that the line efficiency has been, you know, upped a little bit for this.
Well, right now it's because there's no fast pass.
Right. There's also no pre-shows for things. Sure. So if you're going through Tower of Terror, you're not stopping in the room to do the little video and everything, the library. If you're going through Haunted Mansion, you're not stopping in the stretching room. You're going right through. That is one thing that's keeping these lines efficient. I mean, part of me likes the efficiency, but the other part misses the story.
Oh, you're missing.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's a shame for the first timer you had too, Jimmy.
Well, you know, like Tower of Terror, she had gone on it once, but the second time she went on it with me, I pulled up the pre-show and YouTube.
I was just thinking that in my head. Like, you can pull it up on your phone before you
even We were waiting in line, and I had her watch it.
Perfect.
I had her watch the Rod Sterling.
You can do that for any ride.
Yeah. I had her watch that pre-show. So I'm like, you got to understand the story. The ride's fun, but the story, the build-up to it it makes it so much better.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. How about the movies at Epcot? Are they open yet?
Yeah, we did
Canada, China.
We did Canada and China.
Yep, they were open, and it was a nice break out of that hot blazing sun because it was so hot. And they have every other row in China where it was
correct.
Oh, gotcha.
You couldn't go. Like, so every other row was empty. And the same for, we went to the Frozen experience, and it was every other row was empty, so that you didn't have people right in front of you or right behind you in your row.
Now in Frozen, they did have, when me and Kim went in January, they had sections of seats marked, do not sit here. They removed those. And now they just tell you to leave at least one seat between you and the party next to you.
The thing that we've been trained never to do.
Fill in all available space. Right. Move all the way to the end.
Oh, geez. That's how old.
I also did the American Adventure. Still makes me cry.
He loves it.
Sure.
Kim still sleeps.
That's perfect for that.
I think like a couple of your kids minutes. Do too.
I nudged him like 6 or 7 times.
This is the good missing part.
This is history. Wake up. This is the Two Brothers song that makes me cry every time.
So it sounds like you guys had a pretty fun trip.
It was great.
It was a good time. One of the best things on the trip was Wyatt's girlfriend had never been. I don't remember the order we went into it, but she went on like 4 attractions or 5 attractions, like in a row, but not back to back in a row, like over a period of time. And after she got off of each one, she goes, I think that's my favorite. But it was like four in a row, like it escalated. So it was like, I think that's my favorite. And then we go to the next one. He goes, I think that's my favorite. I'm like,
perfect.
I said, me too. Me too, Jewel. Me too. They're all my favorite too.
Very nice.
It's definitely fun and a different experience going with somebody who's never been. And
sure, it's like going with a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love going with someone who's never been before.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you get to relive it yourself too.
Yeah,
right. I can tell that even Wyatt, you know, at 19 years old, he enjoyed showing all of it because he knows he's been enough that he knows a lot of it, and he enjoyed showing his girlfriend, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'd be telling her something. He's like, no, no, Dad, shut up. I'm going to tell her. Like, because you know, me, I want to tell her everything, you know. So he's like, no, I'm going to tell her. All right, tell her why.
It was so fun to watch all those kids have a nice young love trip. It was actually really sweet.
Fun. Very fun.
Yeah. Cool.
Only person we're missing was Ed Mazzilli.
That's right.
Yep. Next time.
June.
You'll be there soon.
You'll be there soon. I got something else to hit you up with. Our friends Michelle and Scott Atwood are doing a convention in Orlando.
House of Mouse Expo.
Nice. So I think we're going to get a booth. I think the podcast will get a booth at that. It's at the end of November, so.
Okay.
I'll be hitting you up and see if maybe you want to make a trip down, or Melissa, you would be invited. I mean, everybody's invited. Charlotte, you too. So we'll have like event space. We'll get a banner. Cool. Hand out some swag. Talk to people about the podcast. Maybe do some live streams from there.
Yeah, definitely live broadcasting.
Yeah, it'd be exciting, and they've already got some really cool guests lined up. I'll send you guys the link. So if anybody else is interested in knowing more, let us know. But it sounds like a fun time. And they get a hotel that they're going to be doing group rates. The hotel that it's hosted in, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what it was, but it wasn't very. It was like $130 a night, I think, what they're thinking. Okay. And that's with like free breakfast and then like at night, like a free open bar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, okay. so really not that. I mean, I could, yeah. So
it
sounds exciting. So I'll talk to you guys more about that, but I'd like to get a few people to plan with me to fly down there and set up a booth and talk to people and enjoy the expo.
Sounds great.
Nice.
Looking at you, Melissa.
I'm going to be there. The first weekend in December, we go down already. So maybe I'll just have to extend it a little bit.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining. We appreciate you. It's been a fun show.
Mm-hmm. Very fun.
I had so much on my chest to talk about.
Yeah, I was going to say Tuesday night, we're probably going to talk about some more stuff coming up.
Yeah,
no, you guys had a lot going on, so
it was a long trip, but it was a fun trip, and
I want to hear some of the downtime. That's the other thing too for the next trip.
I can talk about that now.
No downtime.
Yeah, right. No, I'm done. I'm done.
We tried many food at Epcot for the Flower and Garden too. Lots of good food.
On Saturday night, me and Kim were walking from Magic Kingdom to the Contemporary to catch a bus to Disney Springs to go get something to eat. And I was walking over. I said, Kim, we really, like, maybe the, like, not the trip in November because you can't do that because we got too much other stuff going on. But, like, the next, like, family trip, like, we really need to plan, like, a half a day just to go to the pool and spend some time at the resort. Like, I feel like we were at OQS, and I feel like I completely abandoned. Like, I went in the shop, but other than that, I mean, we didn't enjoy the resort at all. I mean, we didn't go.
Right.
We didn't go to the pool bar. We didn't go to the pool. We didn't go to the restaurant. I'm like, we really need next time. We really need to spend like a half a day.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
that's what we do. Yeah, like
next time, what you do, you treat Kim. You surprise her. Rent one of the cabanas at Grand Floridian. You can do it also at Contemporary and Poly as any resort guest. You can do those three. We've done Grand Floridian. It's not badly priced. I think it was between like $80 and $100 plus you tip your waitress or waiter that you have. So you get a big cabana, lots of chairs, a TV. It comes with like a fruit vegetable tray and drinks in your fridge, your own waiter waitress who then goes up to the pool bar and orders you lunch, and you get it for a couple hours. It was the best, most relaxing experience because we knew this is pool time. This is when we're going to go. We actually got a quick breakfast reservation at Grand Floridian in the morning. We changed in the bathrooms there and then just relaxed by the pool. And everyone could do what they wanted, either be in the shade or be in the sun. It was fantastic.
That sounds fantastic.
Like Jessica said, we did the cabanas at Grand Floridian the whole day. They had a DJ in the middle of the day, and he was that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Speaking of DJs, that conference I'm talking about is going to have DJ Elliot.
Okay.
Have you guys seen DJ Elliot?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think if you go to our YouTube page, the intro video actually has, I think, DJ Elliot at Hollywood Studios with the lights.
He's also called DJ Lobot, I think, because he does it like he's got the thing like Star Wars Galactic Knights. He had like the thing on his head that.
Lobot, the guy from Cloud City.
Okay. Yeah. So he does that too. Elliot also has like he's built like the DeLorean from Back to the Future. And he's also built the Jurassic Park Jeep. That's what he does on his that's his hobby that he
very cool.
He's very cool. I've met him a few times. He's great. So he'll be at the expo we're talking about that mm-hmm. Michelle and Scott Atwood are holding. So I'm excited about that. And see if I can get the vacation time off.
Yeah, especially
it's on the weekend. It's on the weekend, so I'm gonna fly out like, you know, Friday and just go for the weekend. But I'd like to do a booth for the whole thing. So I'll be reaching out to you guys soon and let's discuss it and see if we can make it happen.
Good night, Tina.
Good night, Tina. Good night, Yens guys. Tina's from Pittsburgh.
We talked about that the other night. Yeah,
Tina always hits us with a Yens guys.
She educated me. That's the Philly side.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thank y'all so much. I hope to see you soon. We'll see you Tuesday night. Thank you, Joe Diebold. Have a good night.
Good night.
Night.
Bye bye.
Like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back.